Good morning, everybody. Bishop Ed Akers here, my 9:45 live. Jumpstart your week with a word from God, 15-minute devotional to share what's on my heart with you. I pray you're having a good day today, time change day here in many places around our country. Losing that little hour of sleep, but you'll be all right. We'll have a lot more daylight, and summer's on the way in the Midwest here and everywhere else, so praise God for that. Well, I want to thank God today for all of his goodness in my life, and I pray that you're blessed by what God is doing in your life. Hope you see the blessings everywhere that you look, and that you're enjoying God's goodness in your life. It's very important for us to recognize where God is at work, and sometimes we focus on the trouble instead of seeing where God is moving. But today I want to talk to you about something called the faithfulness of Jesus, or how we can live in assurance. I'm going to use today Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct, Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I've heard this verse quoted. I've quoted it many times myself. It's very familiar to us, the last part, where Jesus promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding us of that. And I want to remind you of that today as well, that Jesus Christ will never leave you or forsake you. I think there are two things that everybody's looking for in this world. One is assurance. We want to have something, and we want to have some things in our life and some people in our life, or someone that we can have full confidence and assurance in. And that's often shifting sand under our feet. And this lack of assurance or solid anchors in our life can cause us to lose what the second thing is everybody's looking for, peace of mind. You know, I saw recently a series on painkillers, and I saw some statistics as I was searching into this background of this show about anxiety medications, medications with depressions, and what we're calling mental illness now, kind of blanket everything that our mind goes through that doesn't seem comfortable as mental illness. And I'm not making light of mental illness, the truths, those that are truly mentally struggling. But I think we have so encapsulated all of that that we're misdiagnosing the real core problem, peace. Everyone is looking for inner peace of mind. And when we are overly anxious, when we are always worried about tomorrow, that peace can become eluding. I want to go back to Hebrews 13:5, though, and establish a couple things about this verse, and then give you a couple promises about how you can have assurance in your life. You can hold on to something that is immovable and unchangeable and always trustworthy, and how you can frame your life around the peace of God. So, first of all, Hebrews 13:5, the word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to look at the word leave. So the first word is, Jesus says, I will never leave you. The word there is a Greek word, anemia, which means to give up, to let go of, or to let go as to let sink. I think about that scene in the movie Titanic when Leonardo DiCaprio is holding onto that door, and Kate Winslet, the actress, is holding his hand, and he's freezing to death, and she doesn't want to let go. She promises she never will, but then she does. She's kind of forced to. And so letting go, let someone sink, is you're their rescue. You're the one holding them from doom, death, despair, or whatever the trouble is presenting itself. But you let go of that person. That's the meaning of this word. To let sink, to desert or abandon, to go back on a promise. To go back on a promise. There's a key to this right here. So another way to look at this verse is, I will never go back on my promises. Once God has promised to hold you and to keep you and to save you and to heal you, when we put our faith in that, he will not abandon his promise. It's not even that he won't abandon me. He cannot abandon his own promises. This is the assurance that I have. That God's promises are yes and amen, because God's promises are wrapped up in his own honor, his own nature, and he will not abandon his own character. And his character is to save and to seek and save that which is lost, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captives. This is the nature of Christ himself. And thank God he will never abandon me or go back on his promises. Praise God. I've had lots of things in my life where people and entities have gone back on their promises. And first of all, their promises were probably too good to be true. But God's promises are not too good to be true. They are true. And that's what makes them good. And God will not abandon his promise. Praise the Lord. I thank God for that. The second word here is, I will never leave you, or I will never go back on my promises, nor will I forsake you. This is a different word, forsake, agatalepo, which means to desert, abandon, leave in the lurch, to abandon someone in a dire circumstance or dire straits, to leave helpless, or to leave behind. So this verse tells us, as Jesus has promised, I will never go back on my promises, nor will I leave you abandoned in dire circumstances. I will not go back on you when time of troubles hits. So the two things we're all looking for, I believe, is assurances and peace of mind. I've often said this at many funerals. If I could bottle peace, if I could put it in a pill form or a gummy, or, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff promising you feel better with gummies and pills and liquids and drinks, but they're passing, they're fading, and they're not lasting, and they don't bring true peace. They bring an illusion of peace. They intoxicate the mind to believe that it's in a euphoric state that is artificially produced. But Jesus Christ inhabits us by the Holy Spirit to give us that peace of mind that is not passing. It's not of this world. It's not based on the circumstances I'm in. It's based on him abiding and living in me. This is why for years I have encouraged people and preached, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want assurance. We want something we can count on, somebody we can trust in. We want something that's immovable that we can really, you know, lay our head down on that pillow and know it's not going anywhere. Too many, you know, marriages have failed because someone has been unfaithful or incompatibility or something else. They didn't keep their word and the trust is broken. And the assurance of that covenant, that promise, that relationship has been shattered. And so there's no solid stance in that marriage. And no matter how much counseling people get, until that assurance is reestablished, they often say, you know, honor's given, but respect is earned. Respect really is the idea of having an ability to trust. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. And so trust is assurance. But I know that we can have assurance in God and Jesus Christ, a true assurance. Jesus is our assurance, and his Holy Spirit in us is the sign and proof or guarantee of that everything he said will come to pass. Now, don't take my word for this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 through 22. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. Stand firm in Christ. Immovable. Immovable in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal upon us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Another version, New Living Translation, says that the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit within as a guarantee that all of his promises will eventually come to pass. God's promises are yes and amen at all times. In times of trouble, in times of financial crisis, in times of financial highs, in times of health, in times of sickness, every promise of God is still yes and amen. There's a guaranteed outcome. And the seal of that, the sign to us, is that the Holy Spirit lives within us. This is why I constantly, again, say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is your guarantee. He is the inner witness to us. So when I feel like I want to get overexcited or over anxious or over worried, the Holy Spirit, who is an abiding nature of God, God doesn't get anxious. God's not upset or worried. that spirit inside me lives its life through me, lives his life through me, and creates a peace in me that's not, the Bible says, passes my understanding. It's a peace beyond the realms of my understanding. It comes from somewhere deep within that comes from a relationship with God and a filled life filled with the Holy Spirit. The second one is Jesus is the only source of peace. So we want that assurance. That assurance then produces peace. Peace that passes understanding. Peace is the most valuable commodity on the planet. When nations are at peace, everyone thrives. Everyone lives good lives. When nations are at war, the innocent die. Economies crash, nations crumble, people are devastated, families are torn apart. When peace abides within us, our mind is not at war with ourselves or at war with what we know to be true in God. And a lack of peace, overwhelming anxiety and worry, creates shorter lifespan, creates disease and sickness, and destroys many of our relationships and our productivity in life. It's not the will of God that we live on the edge of anxiety and worry. I know a lot of people today don't want to hear this, but I want you to learn how to use faith to overcome something that is defeatable, anxiety and worry. It's not a product of your chemical upmake in your mind and that 3-pound thing you got going on up here between the ears. That's not the source of anxiety. There can be chemical imbalances and chemical problems, but every problem, cancer, is a chemical imbalance. It's cellular structures out of order. But yet God will heal that because that's not how God created our bodies to function. When we see symptoms physically, mentally, and we say, well, the chemistry is involved, yes, it is, physically. But there's a spiritual power that is supernatural to the natural. That is God's will in our life. But anyway, Jesus is the only true source of peace. He is abiding, he is lasting, and he gives true peace of mind. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you." The word mind here in the Hebrew means what is framed by our thoughts, or what our thoughts frame for us. In other words, the thoughts that I dwell on become the framing of how I see life, of how I build a life. When I frame my life on the trouble around me, when I frame it on my worries of what might happen, of what has happened, on past hurts, this framework then is faulty and creates the wrong perception of life. When I take the Word of God, the thoughts of Christ, and I dwell on those become the framework to build a life of peace on. So the economy can crash, depression can come, recession can come, war can break out around us, political unrest, sickness in our family, death even, and problems that seem insurmountable can attack. And yet we can have an abiding peace that we don't shake. Our feet are firmly fixed in place on the rock, Christ Jesus. And that's why we can say, as the man of God said in the Bible, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's Job. Because I will not be moved from who I know God is. Praise God. So I have to ask you, why worry? Why be anxious? Anxiety and worry can be conquered and overcome. Even depression, even bipolar disorder, all of the mental stress and distresses and diseases that we possess are no match for the blood of Jesus and are no match for reframing our minds and allowing God to work in us. It's not how excellent we are at framing our minds, learning the Bible. It's using this and walking in this so that God changes us from the inside. That's that Holy Spirit I talked about on the inside. I want to leave you with this thought today. You are held tight by Jesus. He won't leave you alone in dire circumstances. He'll never abandon his promises. So if he's made you a promise, It has to come to pass. If he's made me a promise and you a promise, it must be fulfilled, because if not, then he's not God. If he gives a promise and then doesn't keep it, his nature of faithfulness, who is born out of his own being, then becomes null and void. The earth and the gravity that holds the earth up, the universe, the precision of which the planet itself is held in place, is the same thought about how it means when it says that God holds us in his hands. The earth cannot be tilted away from its axis. It will not change this function. We can daily know exactly by the second, the nanosecond, when the sun will rise and fall every day. We know that all of this precision is God saying, this is how it will be, and it's not being changed. That's what he does in here. Well, God bless you. Learn to have assurance in the promises of God, in Christ himself, and learn that these assurances will build in you a lasting peace of mind. Well, God bless you. Today at Victorious Living Church, we continue the series on miracles this week, and this week is keep your eyes on Christ. That's how you continue to walk in a miracle. And I thank God for that great story of Peter walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Christ, he was over top of the storm. The moment he looked at the storm, he began to sink. I know the word today will be powerful. The worship will be great. That will start here at 10:45 today at Victorious Living Church. At Victorious Living International, God bless you, number 38, our 38th family, was released from slavery in Pakistan this past week. I've got a couple of busy, busy weeks coming up with remote and Zoom broadcasting around the world, and an April 27th crusade in Honduras, where we will see thousands of people come to Jesus Christ. If you want to help us in any of these ministries, go to vlcc.tv for our church, or victoriouslivinginternational.com for our global ministry. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Join me again here next week at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday morning for another 9:45 Live with Bishop Ed and 15 minutes to jumpstart your week. Have a great week. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.